The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mark starts his gospel with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news. Now here we are just a couple weeks before Christmas. And Mark gives this beautiful title to his very short little gospel. For the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of them all, 16 little chapters. And we're so close to Christmas. And Mark says, the beginning of the good news. And we're all thinking, baby Jesus. In fact, that's one of the things that college professors and seminary professors start you off with the very first week of your very first introduction to the Bible class. The professor will sit the class down and say, "How many Gospels can you find the birth of Jesus story in?" And everyone will say, "All of them." Most of them would. Andrew's great. And then the professor would next say, "Okay, then I want you to find me the birth story of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark." And there would be a few students who would sit back and go, "Eh, I know the answer to this." But it's so fun to watch the others scramble through the pages of the Gospel of Mark, going, "I know it's here somewhere. I just know it. I know it. There's got to be a Christmas story in the Gospel of Mark, because the Christmas story is so important." And then they realize that they've been had. There's no baby Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, doesn't start with a baby. Not in Mark. But the thing about the Gospel of Mark is I don't think Mark is just talking about the beginning of the good news being this guy in the wilderness who eats bugs and honey. The good news in the Gospel of Mark. And know that when they say that word good news, it's like somebody coming in after a military campaign and saying, "We conquered. We got this. We won this." The beginning of the good news. For the gospel writer Mark, all this his short little chapters, leads straight to the cross. Leads straight to the cross of Jesus. Mark's whole gospel is the story of the beginning of the good news. But it's the story of the beginning. Not just the good news, but the story of the beginning. And he starts by quoting, he says the prophet Isaiah, but he's fudging a little because he's also quoting from Micah. And he says, as it is written, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Prepare. How do you prepare? I think it's different now than maybe what Jesus ever would have expected. As we prepare for Christmas, are we preparing for the really good news? The really good news that in Christ all will finally be just and healed and well and around the throne of glory worshiping God forever? I like to think about Advent as about hope. And certainly the blue that surrounds us during the season is that significance of hope. Think about it. Blue. We've been told since Sunday school ages is about representing hope. But I want you to think about what blue represents in your life. Go out on a really clear day. Look at the clouds. You can see as far as you can see, and it looks like forever. That blue is the color of hope. Or if you've ever been to an ocean that looks really blue, and you feel like you can see that sea go on and on and on forever. Think about the infinite wisdom, the infinite power, the infinite compassion of God. Blue is the color of hope. And even the blue of the nighttime sky, which maybe tends to lean a little more toward black, but it's still blue. And as God suggested to Abraham in the book of Genesis, you just try to count the stars. Because that's how many blessings I've got planned for you. Blue is the season of hope. It's a reminder that when the world around us seems absolutely out of control, as Cindy likes to say, God is still sovereign. God it all under control. Certainly in Jesus' day, it didn't seem like it was. Probably not any more than it does in our day. But our call is to wait faithfully. To wait hopefully. To prepare the way, to level the way so that others can also join in on our hope. There's a story I had found about how our culture and our season clash with the Advent call to prayerful waiting. It's about a woman who was out Christmas shopping with her two children. And after many hours of looking at row after row after row of toys and everything else imaginable, and after hours of hearing both her children asking for everything they saw on those many shelves, she finally made it to the elevator with her two kids. She was feeling what so many of us feel during the holidays, overwhelming pressure to go to every party, every housewarming, taste all holiday foods and treats, getting the perfect gift for every single person on the shopping list, making sure we don't forget anyone on our card list, and the pressure of making sure we respond to everyone who sent us a card. Anyone else ever feel that pressure just a little? She was trying to get it all right. She was exhausted. And finally, the elevator doors opened, and there was already a crowd in the car, and she pushed her way into the car, dragging her two kids in with her and all of her bags of stuff. And when the doors closed, she couldn't take it anymore. And she stated, "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should just be found and strung up and shot." And from the back of the car, everyone heard a quiet, calm voice respond, "Don't worry, we already crucified him." For this season, remember who started this all and why. The Savior of the world comes to us. The Savior of the world will come to us in our busyness, certainly. But I want you to think of one more image from this Gospel from Mark, because it's about the Savior of the world coming into the wilderness. That's a beautiful sound, by the way. That's the sound of life. Someone crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." You see, God comes to us. And in fact, the way home is most often through the wilderness. And then John the Baptist, of course, was in the wilderness. And people were clamoring to be part of what he was part of. He was odd. There's just no other way to describe John. But they knew he knew something. They knew he was on to something. And John's main and only job was to prepare people to meet Jesus. To prepare people to know Jesus. And I think one verse here that's always lost in Advent because of the busyness is when John says, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals." John knows. And we don't know why Mark uses that reference here, "I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." But in the Gospel of John, everything does point to the cross. And it sure makes me think of when Jesus made the disciples take off their sandals so he could wash their feet. In the gospel of the new creation of Jesus Christ, everything gets turned upside down. We are called to serve, to love, to be humble, be obedient, to open our arms to the embrace of God and God's will. And it might be that we have to go through the wilderness to see that most clearly. But know that the beginning of the good news is just that. In Lutheran theological terms, we talk about the already and not yet. Jesus has already come. The kingdom has already won. But we haven't seen it all yet. And what we are waiting to see, we can't even imagine. And so we wait. We serve, we love, we worship. We gather together as God's people so that we are communally strengthened for the journey. In the beginning. And it's just the beginning. May the peace of God that passes all understanding